Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What a view here this morning. We're broadcasting live from Big Sky, Montana. We've got Lone Peak right out in front of us right there. We've got Montana's state auditor, the security of commissioner of securities and insurance at James Brown, Dillon, Montana's own, here in the house. And James, thanks for putting this whole thing together for us here. The National Association of Insurance Commissioners hosting their nationwide meeting right here in Montana. Good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, great to be on with you again, Aaron. We do have a great show for your listeners on the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah, so what we just did for the past hour, because they're going to be tied up in their big national meetings right now. And so we have the president of the NAIC. He's also the commissioner out of the state of North Dakota. We got a chance to catch up with him and also commissioners out of Utah and Idaho. A lot of time spent focusing on wildfires and homeowners insurance. And we got into the international regulatory environment and so much more. But what did we not cover that you think Montanans would also be interested in?
Yeah, President Godfrey talked a little bit about this in the interview, is the fact that the federal government is starting to creep more and more into the area of insurance. Two areas that we didn't drive down on were health insurance and how that's provided in the country. And then, of course, the work that FEMA does, particularly in terms of flood insurance. In fact, the federal government has basically preempted the entire area of flood insurance. And then most people may not know that those folks that get their health insurance through Medicaid and Medicare, well, that isn't regulated by the states, but rather regulated by the federal government. We at the state auditor's office in many ways help to administer at least the Medicaid program in terms of the funding piece of that, but we don't make the decisions, for example, on coverage and what is covered.
Yeah, one of the things that I appreciated hearing was, of course, the director out of Idaho, because that's an appointed position there by the governor, whereas here in Montana and a lot of other states, it's an elected position like yours is on the statewide level. But you know, we were talking about why you can't have mandates and more regulations to try to bring down these insurance costs, because it's not just homeowners insurance. Because of the Bidenflation that we saw over the last 4 years in particular, it skyrocketed insurance costs across the board.
Yeah, that's right. In the 9 o'clock hour, we talked about what mandates, particularly building code mandates, have and the impact it has on insurance rates. Well, if the cost of a home is high and the value of that home becomes high, then your insurance is high, because the way insurance works is that you are covering for what's known as replacement value, right? So you have to insure at a level that would cover a loss. And so if it's more expensive to buy a house due to local mandates, then your insurance is going to go up as well.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. I'm going to chat more live with State Auditor James Brown right after this. And then coming up in just a few minutes, John Jackson, the Joker from X, he's holding down the fort back in the studio. He'll be chatting with you, taking your calls and more for the remainder of the 8 o'clock hour. Stand by.
It's June 24th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today's upcycling day. It has nothing to do with riding a bike uphill. You take an old object or furniture, add your own flair, and transform it into something new, unique, and beautiful. It started in the 90s, rising to prominence in 2002. Also on this day in 1997, the U.S. Air Force releases a 231-page report dismissing all of those out-of-this-world claims of alien spacecraft crashing into Roswell, New Mexico. In 451, the 10th recorded perihelion passage of Halley's Comet. That means the point in the orbit of the comet at which it is the closest to the sun. Born on this day, actress Nancy Allen in 1950 and actor Peter Weller in 1947. Both stars in the movie RoboCop.
Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
He's dead, Murphy.
I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
We just kind of knew from the beginning that we were family.
They showcased a sense of love that I never had before. I mean, he's not only my parent, like, he's like my best friend.
At the end of the day, it's all been worth it. I wouldn't change a thing about our lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to learn more. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey,
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I just got a Truth Social alert here that just came across my screen here. Make my day. Trump blasts AOC, dares her to try impeaching him. Man, I'll tell you what, John Jackson, the Joker from X, holding down the fort back in the studio. He is going to have a lot to talk about, as I'm sure many of you do as well. We definitely want to sneak in some of your phone calls here later this hour of the show. So I'm going to flip it over to John here in about 10 minutes or so. But first, great to be joined by Montana State Auditor James Brown here. He is hosting the National Association of Insurance Commissioners from all across the country. Jim, talk about what stood out to you, because, you know, we talked about the international regulatory environment and so much of the insurance industry that's actually owned / maybe even controlled out of Europe, and what NAIC members like yourself are doing to push back on that front. What did President Gottfried say from the NAIC? Yeah, our listeners are going to hear it for themselves next hour of the show, but what did he say that really kind of stood out to you?
Yeah, so we'll back up a little bit for those that are listening. So the NAIC is the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, of which I am a member, and it's the group unites regulators from all across the United States and the territories. And what we do is try to engage in dialogue and talk about state-based oversight while remaining independent of political influence. I think what your listeners are going to hear coming up is that insurance regulators share the same concerns as the consumers that we represent and serve. And this dual perspective keeps consumers' interests at the forefront of all we do, including the resources we provide. And so in terms of what you were talking about on the international level, one of the really interesting things that your listeners will hear is that the U.S. insurance market makes up almost half of the entire insurance market in the world. But yet a lot of what happens in the United States is driven by insurance companies that are based overseas. And so one of the things that I certainly support, and former state auditor and now Congressman Downing is working on, is to repeal a federal office called the Federal Insurance Office. We talked a little bit about this. I had never heard of this office before taking this office, but it's called FIO, and what this office is supposed to do is represent U.S. interests in international discussions on insurance. What you'll hear from some of my colleagues and you interviewed is that we don't feel necessarily we're being well represented as states on the international level. And so we at NAIC would like to have a greater say of that to protect our consumers in the individual states.
Yeah, sounds like an easy doge opportunity, or at least drain the swamp at the FIO. That was very interesting when he said that 50% of the global insurance market is basically us. It's our wealth. We're the ones that put all the money into the system. But yet, it's because that's so symbolic of the way our country has been taken advantage of on a number of fronts, and what President Trump and the Trump administration is trying to correct right now. I mean, this whole situation with Iran. I mean, for 46 years, they've been killing our soldiers, and they've been attacking us vis-a-vis proxies and sometimes more directly. And we just keep putting up with it. And prescription drug prices, we're the ones that pay for all the R&D, but then we have to pay more for the same prescription drugs than people in other countries around the world. And then we're the ones that pay all the money for the UN and the WHO and all these other organizations, but then they want to come, you know, put their boot on our neck. In the insurance markets, like, yeah, we're 50% of the wealth there, but yet, you know, we got some of this ESG stuff coming out of Europe trying to be jammed down our throats there. It's, yeah, there's so many. It's kind of like if you were fly fishing down on the Gallatin right now. There's so many little rocks to turn over and bugs that'll start crawling out, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, you hit a couple points there. Back to the Iran thing. So I have sort of a personal connection to what's going on nationally and internationally. So I don't know if you know this, Aaron. My dad was CIA for many years and was actually in Iran from 60 to 64.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so one of his proteges, a gentleman he trained and mentored, was actually killed in the Beirut bombing in the 80s. And so I paid attention to what's happened in Iran for many years. As you stated, Iran's been at war with us since 1979. I mean, that's the reality.
Since the terrorists took over.
Yeah. But the point you're making is that, you know, the United States is the economic driver in the world, but yet, and many times we're losers on the international stage. And what we want to do is to protect U.S. consumer interests when we have these cross-border insurance frameworks. It's really important. I again recognize Congressman Downing for trying to take a lead on this. And, you know, he served in my position for 4 years and certainly understands that.
I'll bet he's got FOMO right now. He wishes he was here, I'll bet. He's like, oh, man, you know, the NAIC. Man, I forgot that your dad was CIA because, yeah, I remember you had a former CIA operative come out and campaign on your behalf who was an Epoch Times writer, a great guest on the show. And, yeah, he mentioned having some family connections there. So, man, it'd be fascinating to get to hear what your dad would have to say right now, huh?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, he passed in 2016, but he was an absolutely remarkable human being. But, you know, the one thing that he always said to me about being a CIA officer is that his loyalty was always with the United States and protecting the United States' interests. And so he spent the majority of his career in the Middle East, dealing with Iran, dealing with Israel, and as he stated, the way that he operated was to make sure that whatever happened between those two countries, the U.S. interests were always put first.
Unlike
President Trump.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because there's a little too many of these deep state swamp creatures that put their own interests ahead or put political partisan interests ahead or, oh, why are we doing this? Or what is in the best interest of the United States?
Yeah,
that's your job.
That's true for the NAIC as well. Our mission is to make sure that Montana's and American consumers' interests are represented first.
All right. Let me see. I think the music is playing right now. Okay. James Brown, great to see you, my friend. Thanks for hosting. We've got a great show coming up in the 9 o'clock
this
hour. John
Montana
Jackson taking over right after this.
There's a concept used to describe different ways of producing energy known as energy density. You might think of it as the amount of land needed to produce a given amount of power from different fuels, wind, solar, coal, gas, or nuclear. Physical footprint on a wind farm or a solar farm is huge compared to fuels with higher energy density, such as gas and especially nuclear. But as blogger Austin Vernon has described, despite the extremely high energy density of nuclear fuel, technology has not emerged as a low-cost way to produce electricity, especially compared to alternatives like gas. And the reasons why might surprise you. Yes, regulation and fear of contamination are factors, but the biggest factor is purely economic. Under current technology, a controlled nuclear reaction energy source is a low-heat source, much lower than a combined cycle gas turbine, which has more than twice the thermal efficiency. The only way to get a lot of power out of a nuclear plant is to massively scale up the entire process, and that's expensive. I'm Patrick Buckey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. House Republicans will be silent no longer when it comes to silencers. The House already passed its version of President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill, which is mainly seen as a grand-scale tax and budget package. But it contains a provision to remove so-called silencers, meaning suppressors, from the list of restricted firearms as per the National Firearms Act. Suppressors themselves are not firearms, but they've been included on the list, making them difficult and expensive for people to obtain, requiring a tax stamp worth hundreds of dollars and an advanced background check similar to when people buy an automatic firearm. Second Amendment advocates want the restriction lifted, saying the devices are intended to protect shooters' hearing. Now Senate Democrats are fighting to keep the provision in their version of the bill, but the Republicans in the Senate also want to see the restriction removed. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is John Jackson back here in the studio, but we have Aaron Flint on the line as well from Big Sky. You hear me, Aaron?
Yeah, I got you, John. Yeah, how's it going back there? Well, you've been already yapping with some of our listeners here earlier this morning. What have I missed? I mean, we joked earlier about President Trump getting pretty fired up to make sure this ceasefire is a go. And I heard him drop an F-bomb live on Fox and Friends earlier this morning. What have I missed in the meantime?
Oh, man. You know, you remember back in the day, say if your dad got up in the morning and something really pissed him off, then, you know, like for the next couple of hours, just stay away from him, right? Because, you know, he's just going to start cracking the whip on everybody because he's mad. Well, he got mad this morning. Obviously, you saw dropping the F-bomb about the whole, you know, these guys carrying on with the missile strikes over there and everything. And he has gone on a rant on True Social over the last hour or so. And several different posts just blasting everybody that comes to mind. I mean, he starts out on Massey again. Congressman Massey just jumps all over him. And then he does a, then he's going after AOC. And then his final one, I just saw that came out a few minutes ago. He's telling all of Congress, do not leave town until you get the big, beautiful bill done. I mean, Dad is mad this morning, so y'all better stay out of his way.
Well, oh, yeah. I mean, when he dropped the F-bomb, I mean, he was first off, you could tell he was ticked off because this ceasefire had been brokered last night. Well, let's take a step back for our listeners just joining us here. So taking a step back. So I'm driving to Big Sky yesterday to come do this show live from here this morning. And so, of course, I'm listening to the news, listening to everything going on, listening to talk radio, bouncing around. So I'm listening as, you know, the missiles are being fired at Al Udeid Air Force Base in Qatar, where, you know, President Trump just basically had a big rally with the troops there here about a month ago when he did that big, you know, strategically important Middle Eastern tour, which is now we're seeing how effective that tour truly was, right? And all those missiles, basically, apparently, we got warning ahead of time. All the missiles, almost all were intercepted. One wasn't really going to hit anything or anyone anyway. So I think in Afghanistan, they would have said, inshallah to that one. And so then, boom, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, President Trump announces this ceasefire agreement. And so, but then it had a 7-hour time delay on it or something like that. So Israel still got hit by something. They got ticked. They fired a bunch of stuff back. And then President Trump's got ticked off at both of them and said, knock it off. Let's do the ceasefire.
Okay, kicking this around with some of our Spaces folks yesterday. You really, of course, the people that Trump had to convince on the ceasefire was Israel, because Iran is done. I mean, they were a dog laid over with all four paws in the air, just don't hurt me anymore, right? They had nothing left, no air, no nothing. So, you know, they were ready to do it. But Israel, you know, probably wanted to keep on pounding them. But we also know that due to the size and the population and everything there's not going to be any regime change. And not without putting all, you know, massive ground presence there, and that's not going to happen either. So you just had to go ahead and face the facts, you know, hit the targets you can hit and let's get out of here.
Yeah, and so then to your point about Donald Trump, he's the dad who woke up angry. Now he's like, how come the lawn ain't mowed? How come the dishes ain't clean? How come you kids left the lights on last night? He's going after everybody. AOC, make my day. Try impeaching me. Yeah, now I got to go on Truth Social. I'm looking at the Trump War Room on X just to get some of it. I see the big, beautiful Bill one. But yeah, earlier this morning, I'm getting ready for the show and brewing some coffee, listening to Fox and Friends. And that's when he was live on the air and dropped the F-bomb. But even before that, when he kind of got mad at Israel for firing at Iran, I mean, he was going off on MSNBC. He was just tearing into these guys because let's look at the remarkable historic moment we are all in the middle of right now. I mean, I thought it was so symbolic that I'm driving to Big Sky. I remember when the fall of Kabul happened. I remember listening to Dan Bongino. I was driving from Lewistown to Yellowstone National Park with my son and my camper to meet up with the rest of the family. We did a live show from Lewistown, and I just remember driving thinking, what in the world is happening right now? And, of course, the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan was unfolding right, you know, in front of our very eyes at that moment. But now, talk about a 180, President Trump, you know, and those incredible B-2 bomber pilots. Oh, that was the point that Trump was making. He's like, now you got CNN and MSNBC downplaying what these B-2 bomber pilots did. They risked their lives. This was an incredible operation. And CNN and MSNBC are like, oh, well, did it really do anything?
Yeah, of course, that's what they're all going to do. And I kind of hit on that earlier this morning. I don't know if you heard it. It's like, you can sit here all day and point out and strike back at all of the lies and propaganda and disinformation that these people say. But I say we play this like they do, is that, you know, everything we ever pointed out about Joe Biden and his regime, what did they do to us? They just ignored us. They don't give it any oxygen. They act as if we and that story don't even exist. And see, we need to adopt that back with them. Whatever they come up with, just ignore it. Just give it no oxygen.
Yeah, great point. So, Donald Trump, and then it's funny, so he drops the F-bomb, he's obviously ticked, as he's getting on the airplane to head to this big NATO summit. I guess he hasn't been at this NATO summit since 2019, so he is heading there fresh off of two major victories, the successful strikes on the Iranian nuke sites in Iran, and then the ceasefire, and man, I'll tell you what, of course, he is all fired up after these major victories. Now he's going to meet with some of these NATO leaders who have been, let's be honest, very weak in standing up to Iran and Russia, and the weakness of Biden and the weakness of other world leaders that allowed this aggression to get even worse. Now you got a President Donald Trump, the backbone for the world, and he's on that airplane firing off at everybody right now. No ceasefire from Donald Trump when it comes to the domestic fight.
Yeah, and right now it's funny that we said this the other day on our spaces. Is he's headed to that NATO summit, and reportedly he is going to meet with Zelensky there. And that's where you need to adopt the same strategy that they just did with Iran. 60 days, gentlemen. That's what he needs to tell Zelensky now. You have 60 days, you and Putin, to come up with a deal. If 61 days comes, then we're going to have a complete and utter pullout of Ukraine, and we are going to put on the hardest sanctions that we can think of all to Putin and his energy and his oil. That's the way it's going to happen. See, now this momentum that you have right here, where the whole world saw that he made a promise and followed through with it, he has got the juice to do this right now.
So I'm looking at Trump's Truth Social here. I was going to go with the big, beautiful bill, but let's go with AOC. How about that one, John? Here's what he says here. Stupid AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, one of the dumbest people in Congress, is now calling for my impeachment, despite the fact that the crooked and corrupt Democrats have already done that twice before. The reason for her rantings is all of the victories that the USA has had under the Trump administration. The Democrats are not used to winning. All caps on that. And she cannot stand the concept of our country being successful again. And then, of course, he goes on Crockett, who else? Joe, Sleepy Joe, Kamala, and the auto pen being in charge. So I would read the whole post, but that would get us all the way up to the next commercial break, I think.
Yeah, this is where, like, if you're Stephen Miller or you're, say, Susie Wiles or any of, you know, his staff, that's where you need to, like, come up and say, President Trump, we've got some great, you know, if they're flying, they're in the aircraft or whatever, President Trump, we've got some great cheesecake up front. You want to come up and have some cake and coffee with us? You know, and leave your phone. Yeah, but President Trump, put your phone down for a second. Come have have some cheesecake. They got to do something, anything to get that phone out of his hands because he is just going on a rant, man.
No, I want to be in the back of the plane. You know how when he's on these plane rides, sometimes he'll open up the office door and he'll do like a little press scrum outside the office door in the middle of the plane ride. There'll be like eight little microphones standing there trying to get at his every word. He should, don't even open the door. Don't even get up from your desk. Just get on, you know, get on the microphone on the airplane and say, ladies and gentlemen, this is your president speaking. Ding, you know, refreshments will be coming through the cabin soon. But first, and then just go on a rant for like 3 hours.
Well, the thing to do would be prank them. Prank them all. Come up over, like you're saying, come up over the speaker there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the president. We have decided to divert the airplane to the Tehran International Airport, where I will sit down and have personal talks with the Ayatollah. And you see all these people just freak. All these sailors like, wait, I want off this plane, you know?
We're going where? Yeah. The MSNBC correspondent would be like trying to do a tandem free-fall parachute jump out of the aircraft.
I didn't sign up for this, man. No way, man. I want to go home.
Yeah, and then, do I have to cover my hair? Well, I thought you told us that women in Iran, that they don't have it that bad on The View. Why are you afraid to be a woman in Iran?
And tell him to, yes, during the negotiations, everybody's going to have to deboard the plane and sit in the waiting room in the Tehran airport. You might have to go through a customs check when you...
Exactly. Oh, man. I'm looking at his Truth Social post here as well about the big, beautiful bill. And he's basically saying, get the deal done this week. Nobody goes on vacation until it's done. And I know Speaker Johnson, I heard him earlier this morning, too. They want to get this done by 4th of July. Let's get some fireworks for 4th of July.
Well, every minute that these mutts there in the Senate get to tinker around with this thing, they're going to just further water it down and take away from what is already a fairly weak bill. So, I mean, yeah, he needs to be right on this and absolutely tell them, get this thing done now before any more damage is done to it.
Yeah. All right. John Jackson back in the studio holding down the fort. I'm surprised you guys can hear me right now, because usually when John's back in the studio, he starts cutting wires. Oh, for some reason, we can't hear Aaron. Oh, I guess I'm just going to have total control of the microphones. He's kind of like Trump with Truth Social. It's just, anyway, John's sticking around. Stand by. More with the Joker right after this.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back to Montana Talks. And look here, we got our phones lit up again. We have on line one, we have my boy Z from Michigan. What's up, brother?
Good morning, brother John. Good morning, good morning. Great ladies, greetings. Don't mess with the Tsaran. Don't mess with the Tsaran. For those who don't know, the leading candidate for New York City mayor is Tsaran Mamdani. He's born in Uganda, raised here, former rapper, but he's got a very, very special middle name. This is from a Wikipedia page. Okay? His dad gave him the middle name of Kwame after Kwame Nkrumah, a revolutionary and the first prime minister of Ghana. So if there's ever a reason why we question culture and what we want to get illegals out, this is it here. This is sort of the, this is, we want to turn into London and run down the stand. There you go. I'm serious today.
Well, I talked about that. We got into that a little bit this morning, and our buddy Nate from New York called in, you know, with an on-the-spot report there about that from an actual New Yorker. But, like I've told you a little bit, I want to get my absentee ballot for this thing, and I'm going to write in the Duke of New York. I mean, I think he is the man for this time right now. Vote the Duke.
What we got to do is start the campaign for everyone to register as Snake Plissken. And I want millions of absentee ballots from Snake. You know, there you go. That'll do it.
Okay. question to you, all right?
Yeah.
This is, you know, it comes down to either side of this. All right, do you think that the voters out there should come to the aid of Mr. Cuomo so that Mamdani doesn't just turn the place into little Tehran, or should we just let the place sink? Your opinion.
That's a good question. In some ways, this is like, you know, in Titanic, you know, there's a certain point where the ship tipped and all of a sudden it's going to just go rifling down in the ocean. And part of me thinks that first we had a Kenyan, now we got a Ugandan, you know. And people can, this is not racist. I'm talking about culture. And I get very, very worried, you know, that we're overrun. If you look at London and you had Khan, you know, the superior intelligence as mayor there, and then the violence that has increased, I think that's the indicator. Now, if New York can't save themselves, you got to save yourself. You got to be able to vote, right, and determine your own course. I've said this many times to you, you drop the towel, right? You're going to rescue someone, and they climb up, and they're going to drown you too, you got to drop the towel. But man, I don't know. I can see this guy getting elected, and then, you know, we have a problem purging, you know, the PLA protest, the Gaza, and all this other stuff. It's really just a hotbed of violence. I think with him as their ally, boy, oh boy, oh boy, I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, I would say back to it, and once again, I'm going to use another reference from Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan. If you remember when Captain Kirk went running down at the end and to save his friend Spock, who had gone into the warp drive to save the ship and was dying from radiation poisoning from it, and Kirk tried to he was going to run into the chamber and try to save him, and the Doc and Scotty stopped him. And Kirk said, he'll die. And Scotty said, sir, he's dead already.
Yeah.
And that's my opinion of New York City. There's no saving it. Yeah. It's dead already.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of regions. You know, and that's sort of this mirror we got. There's so much going on, right? And it's easy to get caught up. And, you know, in particular, there's drama about the events that really is distracting from the events themselves, too, when you look at, you know, who said what regarding Iran, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of these regions here, I think the bill's coming due because we've ignored this and we've just absorbed so many people. You know, because we said, hey, we're 10 years, you know, we have time, you know, and that's going to happen in Europe. It's not going to happen here. And,
hey, John, you know, and Z, can you guys hear me?
I hear you, Aaron.
Hey, Z, can you hear me?
You know?
Z, can you hear Aaron?
No, I can't.
Okay, what I wanted to test to see if a caller could hear me while I'm remote. Okay, well, I'll mute my microphone. John, I mainly just wanted to cut in unannounced and call you a nerd for another subject.
Well, you have to call. Z, you didn't hear that. You know, Aaron calls anybody that's Star Trek fans nerds. But he's just uncultured. Let's just say that about him. He's just uncultured and was born too late to truly appreciate what is.
There is a room full of insurance commissioners here, and they are less nerdy than you, John. All right, I'll mute myself. You guys have fun. I'll have fun listening in.
Thank you very much for the call, Steve. I mean, yes, yeah. Aaron is just not cultured. He's just he's born a generation too late to fully appreciate Star Trek. Online, too, we got here patiently waiting. We have Francis in Big Fork. Good morning, Francis.
Good morning, John. Well, you know, I'd like to talk about Trump today. He's not too happy. But you know what? These guys have been fighting forever, and maybe now they'll listen. I hope, after Trump gave him a little lecture. And you know, this country, I believe, like the guy from Michigan was saying, we're getting overrun. I know, like, Dearborn, Michigan was a beautiful city with Catholics and, you know, every religion there. Now it's all Muslim. They've taken over everything. And that's what their plan is, just come in, have thousands of kids, put them on welfare, get all the money they can, and start fighting us from the inside.
Oh, that's 100%. And, some of these things, like we were talking about this, the building the government slums and all this stuff, there's a lot of the topics out there. Thank you very much for the call, Francis. There's a lot of topics out there that we don't have to guess about. We already know how it's going to turn out. What's the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Our government specializes in that, in case y'all haven't noticed. They specialize in doing the same failures over and over and over again with your money. With all of our money doing it. That's what's so infuriating about it. And we know that radical Islam does not meld with American culture. They never have. They never will. They form their own little enclaves and neighborhoods, and then they reach the density where they're going to start getting into government. Next thing you know, they're in your city council, they're your mayor, they're your congressman. Just look at Minneapolis. Just look at Minnesota. That's how it happens. That's how it happens every time. This is not a mystery. We're not wondering, what would happen here? We already know what would happen here. Let's see, we got on line three, we got Al. Al, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing, buddy?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Listen, I want to just say one thing. I'm 71, want to be 72 years old. I am sick of the sandbox. Can we please just get out of there? We don't care anymore. We're tired of it. We're sick of this mom and that, and that mom and this, and that mom and this. With 37, 38 trillion in debt, God knows what else. And we're still funding two wars at the same time. We don't have ammo for our own troops. Well, all our 155 is depleted, et cetera, et cetera. We got Taiwan getting a blow at any time, et cetera, et cetera. Korea, Kim Jong-un is licking his chops, is watching us bleed ourselves dry. Can we please just get the hell out of the sandbox? I'll be honest with you, I don't care anymore. I don't want to defend democracy. They don't want democracy. They don't want to know what it is, and they spit on it. So why can't we just go home, please? How's that?
Oh, 100% agree. 100% agree. And I think the only reason President Trump decided to get in the middle of this thing with Iran is that's a just wicked, horrible, murderous theocracy over there that the minute they decide to, they are going to take a nuclear weapon and blow up the world with it. It is like handing a loaded gun to a three-year-old. No good will come of it, and we've been talking about this crap for 25 years, and for 12 of those years, the Democrats have been paying them billions of our dollars to stop doing it. So one time, we actually just saved ourselves money here. Al, we really did. Because, the first thing, Gavin Newsom comes in here in 28 or 32, and he'll be ready. He would have been ready to send another 10 or 20 billion of our dollars over to Iran. So we saved money in this deal. So thank you very much for the call, everybody. We got a coming up to the break here. I hear the music, and we'll be back here in 1 second. And we have one more block here before the top of the hour. Anybody wants to call in, this is your last shot at a call here. Let's hear it. We'll be right back in a minute.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
All of the talk and what the Israelis have been able to pull off is miraculous also. All of this is going to be studied. What Donald Trump did with these three facilities, both Bordeaux, Natanz, and Esfahan. All three of these facilities, what he has been able to do is now made the world a safer place, a much safer place. And what our military have been able to pull off here, you should be extraordinarily proud of. If you were ever going to do this, this was the time to do it at the level of safety that you would want for any American soldier that was flying a B-2 with these bunker buster bombs.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. I've been buying precious metals. Somebody gave me great advice. I'm so grateful every day that I did, and I've been doing it for decades. every paycheck I get, no matter what, I put aside a portion of money to diversify into precious metals. Now, especially during uncertain times, remember the 2008 financial crisis, who do I choose to make my gold and silver purchases with? What company do I now use? Who do I trust? Well, I've been partnering with a great company for 3 years. I am a customer. The company's called Gold Co. Gold Co. will send you right now a free 2025 gold and silver kit to learn more about diversifying with precious metals. Now, this kit from Gold Co. has been a huge help to me. I think you'll learn a valuable lesson. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer. Now, you're not going to want to miss out. All you have to do is call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's 855-815-GOLD, or go to the website HannityGold.com.
Fox Rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. The Who's Pete Townsend is speaking out about the band split with longtime drummer Zach Starkey, calling the situation a mess, adding he will miss Zach terribly. The back and forth began in April when Townsend and the Who frontman Roger Daltrey made a collective decision to part ways with Starkey, who is the son of Beatles drummer Ringo Starr. He joined again days later, only to part ways another time. Starkey explaining that he wasn't fired, but he retired to work on his own projects. Maroon 5 is back with a new album and a U.S. arena tour. The album out August 15th is called Love Is Like. Maroon 5 also announcing 23 dates for a national arena tour, starting this fall, including a hometown show in L.A., before finishing November 25th in Detroit. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, once again, as proof of the fact that you need to be listening to Montana Talks at all times, in the previous segment, Aaron Flint and I were joking back and forth, and Aaron said, wouldn't it be funny if on his way to NATO, President Trump came back? You know how he always comes back and opens up the door and talks to the media, but instead he would come over the microphone? Well, President Trump just did that. I mean, this is breaking 7 minutes ago. He went back on his plane, opened up that door that he has back to the compartment where all of the media are. And you've seen the clips before where he's standing in that doorway and take questions from the media. He just now did that. I mean, he didn't do what Aaron was hoping that he would do and prank these people and call them on the intercom and everything, but he just now went back to take questions. And the first thing I said that I saw him say was that he says, you know, he absolutely does not want regime change over there, and that he thinks the chaos will calm down here a little bit, and you know, everything will be fine. What I predict over there, and watching some of the people in the know, is that, yeah, the hot war as far as missiles and aircraft and bombs and all that stuff will pipe down. But Israel, with their intelligence services, are not going to stop. They are completely embedded over there in Iranian culture. They've been over there for years. They're undercovers. And they can and will. You watch over the next weeks and months, there will still be targeted assassinations of their big leaders. They will keep this going because they know right now that the regime is weak, so they can and should take care of it. Last topic for today on President Trump's rants that he's gone on Truth Social this morning and other days. One of the things he hit that I was proud to see him do was he just teed off on Congressman Tom Massie out of Kentucky. Massie is a Republican. Massie has gotten a lot of exposure over the past few years of constantly being that guy that's always righteously putting up his hand and saying, you know, stop spending money. You know, check out the debt, check out the deficit, stop spending money, stop lying to the American people. And good on him for that. We applaud him for that. But in many, many cases recently, particularly now when you have a Republican president in there, he is pretty much acting like an obstructionist. And the other day when this Iran thing kicked off, he's coming out there, questioning the constitutionality of it and talking about impeachment and all this stuff. And finally, President Trump has had enough and teed off on him and went that extra step to say, we're going to primary him. I'm going to make sure that his primary candidate has money, and I'm going to be there on the ground in Kentucky campaigning for his primary opponent. And I'm here to tell you that puts Mr. Massey in trouble. But here's my opinion on it. I don't think President Trump does this nearly enough. There are probably, 8, 10, or even more of these people in the House and in the Senate that deserve this same treatment. Now, publicly, privately, however you do it, they need to be told to get back in line and do what we say and vote for the agenda, march in step with us. You don't see the Democrats do this. You know how the Democrats win and get everything they want? It's because zero dissent is allowed. The people get in a big room, they all sit down and decide what we're going to do, and everybody gets up and does it. Everybody votes how they say or else. Or else you're going to be standing out in the cold. You're not going to get a nickel. You're not going to get reelected. Right? That's how they play. We need to play it that same way if you're going to win. You can't have these people all the time playing the game for themselves instead of for the agenda. Well, hey, guys, there's the music. And coming up, back to Aaron Flint in Big Sky at 9 o'clock. Love being with you guys this morning. Always lots of fun. And y'all be safe out there. I'll see you next time. Montana.